Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Friday, January 11th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The deputy commissioner in charge of the Marine Highway System now says he was asked to resign by Pat Kemp, the newly appointed commissioner of transportation. Mike Neusel is retiring at the end of this week. He previously told KCAW News that the decision was by mutual agreement. Neusel now acknowledges that he was asked to step down from his job at the Department of Transportation. Neusel's departure follows closely on the heels of a decision by the governor's office to scale back the Alaska-class ferry project, which has been in planning for several years. Neusel retired as district chief of staff of the U.S. Coast Guard in 2010 and was appointed deputy commissioner in February 2011. His successor has not been named. Sitka Senator Bert Stedman has less power in the legislature this session. He's worried the new majority caucus will push through bills that will hurt the state or ignore his region. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports as part of a series on Southeast lawmakers' session priorities.
Stedman spent 6 years as co-chairman of the powerful Senate Finance Committee. There, the Sitka Republican effectively blocked Governor Sean Parnell's oil and gas tax rewrite plan. When Republicans favorable to those changes organized this session's Senate, they left him off the panel. Stedman worries the legislature will pass a bill that gives away too much and ignores the complexities of taxation and incentives.
So if you just lower the oil tax and you don't fix these other areas, the state of Alaska is going to get the royal shaft and somebody's going to end up with a gold mine. You know, it won't be the people that own the assets, which is the people of the state.
The new Senate leadership put Stedman in charge of the Health and Social Services Committee. He freely admits that's not one of his areas of expertise.
I haven't served on that committee in the past, so I don't have, you know, a lot of the historical issues that they've worked with front and center.
Stedman says he'll meet with the state's Health and Social Services Commissioner and various interest groups. He's concerned about cuts or formula changes affecting federally funded programs.
There's the health exchange issue that, you know, the governor's basically decided what he wants to do on, and that's basically his role. And there's a litany of other issues, so we'll have to just kind of wait and see and let them unfold.
His Health and Social Services Committee will likely see any legislation furthering the governor's Choose Respect campaign against domestic violence.
Well, I don't know if it's the right approach, but it's certainly a good approach, and it gets it out in the public eye a lot more. So I think it's definitely beneficial to the interest of all the communities. And I do think he's on the right track by increasing the state troopers and village public safety officers.
Stedman used to write the Senate's capital budget. That gave him the power to select public works projects for his district and other parts of the region. This year, though, it'll be different.
We'll be going through the community's lists throughout the region and trying to, you know, fill some of the gaps. But, you know, there is a difference between when you're a committee member or a non-committee member and when you're, in charge of actually writing the budget.
He says previous sessions projects will be spread out over 2 or 3 years. That means some lag time before construction and other work slows down. The governor's proposed capital budget, released in December, allocates close to $200 million for Southeast projects. They range from road repairs to ferry engines to school improvements. Stedman says he'll continue to push for regional energy projects, but he worries too much money will go towards gas lines to Fairbanks and an export terminal further south.
So I think we need to be a little careful on what decisions we're making, that they're not just political knee-jerk decisions for consumption in your own district, but we'd look at the long-term best interest of the state over several decades.
A big issue for Stedman and all Southeast lawmakers is reduced regional power. Redistricting shrunk the delegation from 8 to 6, and the last elections took out 3 incumbents and left only 1 representative, Juneau's Kathy Munoz, on a finance committee. Stedman also worries about the loss of other coastal lawmakers from top leadership positions.
We have 1 member out of Kodiak, out of 10. And when you're running a democracy, 1 vote in 10, you don't get very far. So we've got some work to do along coastal Alaska.
That one is Alan Osterman, the new co-chairman of the House Finance Committee. He'll be the lawmaker assembling the operating budget. Stedman's Senate district has changed since last year, losing Petersburg and adding Haines, Craig, Hoonah, Angoon, and other small communities. He continues to represent Sitka and Ketchikan. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
Two hatcheries on the eastern side of Baranof Island are dealing with damage from Friday's earthquake off the coast of southeast Alaska. The 7.5 magnitude tremor is believed to be responsible for a landslide into Betty Lake on the eastern side of Baranof Island. And now a hatchery near the lake is scrambling to address the damage. Juneau-based Armstrong Keita raises four species of salmon at the hatchery in Port Armstrong. Betty Lake and nearby Jetty Lake are the two sources of water for the hatchery. Bart Watson is the general manager of Armstrong Keita. He believes a wave caused by the landslide and the debris it was carrying damaged intake pipes in Betty Lake and destroyed two skiffs.
The big challenge is going to be figuring out how to deal with all these floating logs in the lake. So we haven't really pinned down our plan of attack yet.
Watson says the big challenge at the moment is finding a new skiff. It would have to be taken down to Port Armstrong on a larger boat and then airlifted into the lake. He said he spent the better part of Thursday hunting for a John boat or a skiff in Sitka he could buy. The hatchery employs seven people year-round plus temporary workers. Watson says they've been busy.
Well, we have a terrific crew down there. They've been amazing in their dedicated, quick response. You know, they don't think about counting hours or complaining about the conditions or whatever. I feel very lucky with the quality of the staff. And right now I'm just trying to do the support work from town to line up the helicopter and the boats and cables and so on.
Further north, the earthquake is believed to have caused three separate avalanches into Deer Lake. The resulting waves swamped a skiff used by the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association. NSRA operations manager Scott Wagner says the wave was about 4 to 5 feet height. The budget process for the Sitka School District next year hasn't even begun yet, and already the school board is behind in the count. During an otherwise uneventful board meeting Tuesday evening, Superintendent Steve Bradshaw passed this along.
We got some real bad news today, which is going to impact the budget tremendously and also impact the negotiations that we've already done with both unions. I got a call from Paula Scott late this afternoon. Originally, they had come out, tossed the figure of 18% increase for our insurance. That has now been bumped up to 25.2% increase, which is a $600,000 increase to our budget.
The district is renegotiating contracts with both its teachers union and its classified employees union. Bradshaw said that the negotiation up to this point has kind of been a waste of time because insurance premiums were factored into both compensation packages. He recommended postponing further talks until insurance increase was settled. The school district currently pays $2.5 million to insure its employees and their families, about 400 people in all. The anticipated premium hike would kick that figure up over $3 million. Based on preliminary estimates, the school board was already expecting to have to make cuts in the neighborhood of $800,000 for next year. Bradshaw said that dealing with the insurance hike might force cuts of well over $1 million. The school budget process formally opens with a hearing on Tuesday, February 12th at 3:45 p.m. with district staff in the Performing Arts Center. Subsequent hearings will be held at Kikushahin Elementary School. The total district budget for Sitka schools this year was more than $18 million, nearly one-third of which is contributed by the city of Sitka. Southeast Alaska's commercial Dungeness crab catch saw another decline last year. A fall season was open for much of the region in October and November and yielded 512,000 pounds. That's down from 561,000 landed during the fall season in 2011. Crabbing was also open for 2 months during the summer. Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Adam Mesmer says the combined catch for the summer and fall seasons also dropped from the year before.
The total season catch was just under 2.4 million, which is a little bit below what we got last year. Last year we were at a little under 2.6 million, and it's quite a bit below what we projected this year. We were projecting a little bit under 4 million pounds harvested, and so our projection was a bit high this year.
The region's Dungeness catch had been over 5 million pounds as recently as 5 years ago, but it's been dropping since then, along with a drop in the number of crabbers landing crab. 2012 saw 160 permits fished, down two permits from the year before. Mesmer says the average price per pound was up for the combined summer and fall seasons.
This year's average price was $2.54. That compares to last year's average price at $2.30. So even though we caught a bit less crab this year, the total value of the fishery is almost identical to last year at $5.9 million.
Mesmer says the fall fishery had more reports of soft-shell crab, which are less valuable because they contain less meat.
It was pretty spotty. You know, guys were still catching soft shells, which was a bit odd in certain places. It's been kind of an odd year with that. It seemed like all the crab were getting hard at different times in different places throughout the whole region.
Dungeness fishing remains open in a few areas near Ketchikan and Sitka through the end of February. Two other southeast crab seasons open up next month. The Tanner and Golden King crab seasons start February 17th. A Christian radio station broadcasting from Petersburg has gone off the air. KRSA went silent December 31st, according to Ed May, president of the board of directors for the corporation SEA Christ Broadcasting that owns the radio station. KRSA's website said the station is closed and is in the process of redirecting its ministry. KRSA broadcast its AM signal in Petersburg and also broadcast from translators in Sitka, Wrangell, and Haines. The Federal Communications Commission granted the station's license in 1981. KRSA broadcast local talk shows and interviews, boys' high school basketball games and other sports, news and nationally distributed Christian and family programming throughout the week. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Today in Sitka, expect rain and snow likely with little or no snow accumulation. Highs around 39. Tonight, rain and snow likely, snow accumulation to 1 inch. KCAW, Sitka.